Will the House please come to order? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner. Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales. Hales. Hallinan.
Here.
Hammonds.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen. Jorgensen.
Excused.
Jorgensen excused. Landon.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Lubnow.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Mercer.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Patterson.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Philp. Philp.
Excused.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Semlick. Shepperson,
here.
Steward,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Hales,
excused.
Hales excused, 57 present, 3 excused.
Prayer for today is given by Reverend Bob Garrard, representing the First Presbyterian Church in Cheyenne.
Let us pray. Lord God, we praise you for these women and men who have answered your call to serve the people of Wyoming. As we inaugurate today's session of the House of Representatives, may your Spirit be upon them to fill them with wisdom and discernment, to further their understanding of the issues and bills before them. May your strength lift them up to sustain them through the stresses of this busy day. May your compassion and love lead them when the subjects being considered wear the faces of people with a variety of views. We pray these same prayers for the new president of this country, Barack Obama, upon his inauguration, and for the House and Senate in Washington, D.C., with whom he and the leaders of this body will work to further the good of this state, nation, and world. Thank you for being present with us, Lord, and for listening to our prayers. Help us all to hear your answers. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Okay. See you tomorrow morning.
Okay.
The doctor of the day is Dr. Jamie Broomfield from the UW Family Practice Residency Clinic. And the nurse of the day is Mary Calkins from the Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. Welcome, Dr. Broomfield and Nurse Calkins. Hi, Mary Kay Getter. Nice to have you here. Thank you. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 19, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Moniz, Representative Barbuto.
Representative Carson.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Gives me great pleasure to announce that we have a new President of the United States of America, Barack Obama.
We are at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 215.
House Bill 215, introduced by Representative Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue regarding tax exemption for renewable resources.
House Bill 215 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 217.
House Bill 217, introduced by Representative Escobel.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue regarding college tuition property tax credit.
House Bill 217 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 221.
House Bill 221, introduced by Representative Throne.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property taxation.
House Bill Number 221 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 173.
House Bill 173, introduced by Representative McKim.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Teacher Shortage Loan Repayment Program.
House Bill Number 173 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 199.
House Bill 199, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school district organization.
House Bill Number 199 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 212.
House Bill 212, introduced by Representative Harshman.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
House Bill Number 212 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 218.
House Bill 218, introduced by Representative Harvey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship Program.
House Bill Number 218 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 219.
House Bill 219, introduced by Representative Goggles.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to cooperative educational services.
House Bill Number 219 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 193.
House Bill 193, introduced by Representative Wallace.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to agriculture regarding Wyoming Food Freedom Act.
House Bill Number 193 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 198.
House Bill 198, introduced by Representative Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wheat Marketing Commission.
House Bill Number 198 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 206.
House Bill 206, introduced by Representative Carson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to domestic animals after domestic violence.
House Bill Number 206 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 208.
House Bill 208, introduced by Representative Wallace.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to brands.
House Bill Number 208 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 213.
House Bill 213, introduced by Representative Yagi.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to conservation districts, rangeland monitoring.
House Bill Number 213 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill Number 207.
House Bill 207, introduced by Representative Carson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish, internet hunting.
House Bill number 207 is referred to committee number 6, travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 188.
House Bill 188, introduced by Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance coverage of things.
House Bill number 188 is referred to committee number 7, corporations and other things. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 197.
House Bill 197, introduced by Representative Carson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles regarding breast cancer license plate.
House Bill number 197 is referred to committee number 8, transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 211.
House Bill 211, introduced by Representative Buchanan.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles regarding veterans' license plates.
House Bill number 211 is referred to committee number 8, transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 220.
House Bill 220, introduced by Representative Madden.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles regarding registration fees.
House Bill number 220 is referred to committee number 8, transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 195.
House Bill 195, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Real Estate License Act of 1971.
House Bill number 195 is referred to committee number 9, minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 11.
House Joint Resolution number 11, introduced by Representative Miller.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution requesting Congress to prohibit the imposition of a fee on any user rental agreement required for the production of electricity from wind turbines located on BLM lands.
House Joint Resolution 11 is referred to committee number 9, minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 177.
House Bill 177, introduced by Representative Millen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Board of Dental Examiners.
House Bill number 177 is referred to committee number 9, minerals. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 178.
House Bill 178, introduced by Representative Millen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to ultraviolet tanning devices.
House Bill number 178 is referred to committee number 10, labor. Excuse me. House Bill number 177, Board of Dental Examiners Revisions, is referred to committee number 10, labor. And if the Minerals and Labor Chairman would like to discuss that and see where they would like those two bills, that would be fine with me. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred House Bill 8, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Kraft, Dirks, Hales, Illaway, Lubnow, Miller, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 34, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Byrd, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 4.
House Bill 4, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 4, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 9.
House Bill number 9, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to subdivisions, cluster developments.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 9. If you recall, yesterday we had a conversation about whether or not this was mandatory or whether or not this was a option of the county. The folks that presented the bill pointed to page 2, lines 2 through 5, for the proposition that this was an option. I was just concerned that that wasn't clear enough. So what I did was, it's the same language except essentially I rearranged the language a little bit so it grammatically flowed a little better. But I added in by resolution, that the commissioners need to actually pass a resolution. The reason for doing that, so that way then they have to take some type of affirmative act to opt in. And then on page 7, what I did, just to make it even more clear, I put if the commissioners adopt this process, then they shall enforce the rules. So this was just hopefully clarifying and making it more clear that this was an opt-in, which I think was always the intent, but I was just trying to clean up the language and make it doubly clear.
Chairman Brown, or excuse me, Representative Brown.
I would enjoy that promotion, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I consider this a friendly amendment, and I would urge the body to vote in favor.
Any further discussion on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 9? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 9, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 9 is passed. Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 9 and ask for your favorable consideration. This amendment accomplishes a number of things that were discussed yesterday in the dialogue, and I will just briefly review those. On page 3, line 10, we put a definition in there to make it clear that the word parcel, as it's used in the context of this statute, is adequately defined. On page 4, at line 6, we said not more than 2 residential units for each 35 acres. And Mr. Speaker, I believe there's a motion for a division coming that would break that out for separate consideration. On page 4 at line 7 is the same thing. Page 5 at line 6, we put in the same definition and the same language that we're using in House Bill 10 to make the two consistent. Page 5 at line 18, we replaced the words retention and maintenance with designation, which seems like a more appropriate word. Page 6, line 4, we changed the language to say the provision shall provide for a process by which the owners of the lots and the development may retain designation of the land as open space, and that seemed like a more appropriate language. So they are technical amendments, Mr. Speaker, and I would stand for any questions on the amendment.
Thank you. Representative Stebson.
Mr. Speaker, I would move to divide the amendment. Division 1 would be lines 1 through 3 and lines 10 through 22, and Division 2 would be lines 4 through 9.
The amendment is divisible, and it is so ordered. We are on Division 1. Any further debate on Division 1, which is lines 1 through 3 and lines 10 through 22? All those in favor of Division 1 of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 9, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Division 1 to second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 9 is passed. Representative Stebson.
Mr. Speaker, I'm rise in opposition to Division 2 of the amendment. The problem with the amendment is it substantially undermines the effectiveness and the purpose of the bill as a whole. What it does is eliminates essentially the ability of county commissioners to provide a density bonus over and above the density of 2 residences per 35 acres. And the critical provision is on page 3, subromanet 2, and capital C. And you can see there that what it provides is that there is that limit of 1 residential unit per 17.5 acres unless a county commissioner see fit to provide a density bonus. And to understand how it plays in, what this really is a carrot for the county commissioners. If they look at a subdivision and they see, you know, maybe the setbacks aren't what they should be, maybe it's encroaching upon sensitive areas of the subdivision, they can negotiate with the developer and say, hey, if you move the setbacks back a little further, we'll give you a density bonus of one or two additional lots. So it provides this sort of tool for county commissioners to negotiate with developers, a carrot, so that they can optimize the development and optimize the protection of open space. What the Division 2 would do is eliminate that option and just say it's the flat one residential per 17 and a half acres, and it would, I think, develop an inconsistency between page 4 where the amendment would be inserted and page 3 where the density bonus is provided for. So I would urge you to vote against the amendment.
Anyone else on division number 2? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'm so overpowered by the persuasiveness of the representative's argument that I withdraw Division 2 to Amendment Number 2.
Division 2 to Second Reading Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 9 is withdrawn. Seeing no further amendments to House Bill 9. House Bill 9, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 10.
House Bill 10, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to subdivision requirements.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 10. What this amendment does, I pointed this out yesterday, it deletes on page 5, the very bottom there on enforcement 21 through 24, and then deletes all of the enforcement section on 1 through 17. The reason for this was that that enforcement provision is where the county government, the county commissioners, enforce their own rules. B was somewhat implying that they had to go to mediation before doing so, and there didn't really need to, there didn't seem to be a need for the mediation, because if you flip over to page 4, lines 12 through 16, the provision asking for homeowners to provide for mediation and arbitration was already provided. So it's covered, this mediation idea that the homeowners need to go to mediation or arbitration. There didn't seem to be a need to repeat it in subsection B. And if it was going to be in subsection B, I think it was going to confuse the counties as to whether or not they had the power to enforce their own rules. So all I'm asking is that we just delete that section.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the intent of this, and I personally think that the enforcement doesn't present a problem, homeowners associations, if they're formed, there's a lot of times that many people in those associations don't know anything about the matter that they have complaints about. And I am not, or at least in my bill before, and it's in this bill, the request is not to have the county commissioners be overloaded with work, but they can provide the names of mediators, and this does not prevent the homeowners association or the parties with a dispute to go to court later, but at least they learn more about the process. Quite frankly, I think part of the problem with so many of the people in small subdivisions, they wind up going to court when it can be handled by just sitting down and talking about what the issue is and be educated on it. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I might point out that this strike-through of the entire language beginning at line 21 on page 5 through line 17 on page 6 has the effect of leaving in place the language that's not underlined. And so it would say It would leave in place current language, which says that this article is enforceable by all appropriate legal remedies, including injunctive relief and writ of mandamus, and on failure of the county attorney to act on violations of the article, the attorney general, at the request of the board, can initiate it. Now, that's current language, and that would be left undisturbed with this amendment. It doesn't seem appropriate where we're talking about enforcement by the county attorney and enforcement by the attorney general if the county attorney refuses to do so, to couple that with arbitration or mandamus, and arbitration or mediation. It gave all of us, I think, a lot of problem. If the county attorney is going to enforce it, or the attorney general is going to enforce it, we don't need arbitration or mediation in that instance. And that's why this was stricken. So Mr. Speaker, I consider this a favorable amendment. I'll pay the price with my chairman later, and would urge that you adopt this amendment.
Representative Childers. Excuse me. Let's go to anyone else for their first time on second reading amendment number one. For your second time, Representative Childers.
Mr. Speaker, as much as it hurts, I will defer to legal counsel.
Can't hurt that much when it's free. Anyone else for their second time, Representative? Okay. No one else? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number one to House Bill 10, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 10 is passed. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number two to House Bill 10 and urge your favorable consideration. Again, this is some cleaning up and some fine-tuning in the bill. The first change is to strike arbitration in the enactment clause. On page 2, we insert the same definition that we're trying to use in both House Bill 9 and House Bill 10 that says sale does not include, and I think this was the whole intent of the committee in the first place, does not include a contract to sell contingent on approval of a final plat. It has, in order to qualify for the exemption from it being a sale, it has to be a contract to sell, and I really like that concept that contract to sell must be contingent on approval of the final plat. It just boxes in a little bit the freedom to contract and make it clear that when these contracts are being made early on, they will be contingent on a final plat, however it's represented, finally being approved. Page 3, we insert the language to record a plat. In other words, no person may sell until they've recorded a plat with the county clerk, and a sale would be any sort of a conveyance or a final consummation of an arrangement to sell the property. Page 3 also, on line 16, we change the word shall to may, and we give the county commissioners, by doing that, the latitude whether they want to exempt between 1 and 5 units of land or not. Page 3, at the bottom of the page, we changed that because before we were talking about an agreement creating a homeowners association, and that's not really correct. And so we've changed it to say evidence that all parcels of land created by the subdivision are subject to written and recorded covenants creating a homeowners association. And that would be the binding document that would make the homeowners association continue through a succession of ownership. The covenants are a burden on the land. The agreement, what might only be an agreement with the first owner of the property, and we wanted to make it clear that homeowners association is supposed to attach to the land and survive successive changes of ownership. On page 4, we deleted arbitration, but we left mediation. And I think mediation is the appropriate procedure. Arbitration has a lot of problems associated with it, and arbitration is binding. Mediation is not. Arbitration requires rules of the association that governs such things, and you have to have qualified people. And the last time I tried to find one, there wasn't one in the state of Wyoming. I had to go south to the big city to even find a qualified arbitrator. And so for all those reasons, we didn't feel that arbitration ought to be in here. Mediation is appropriate, and say that it'll contain a mediation provision that says before you can go to court, you have to demonstrate that you have entered into a mediation proceeding, which is not binding, but which does bring the parties together, further their education of the issue, and put them together with a facilitator who may find a way to resolve their differences short of going to court. Page 5, we deleted the word covenants because of the other language that we put in that said that the property would have to have binding and recorded covenants on it. Page 7, we made the same change at line 15 to make sure that the board has evidence that the parcels are subject to written and recorded covenants, creating a homeowners association. And page 8, we again deleted the arbitration. So those are the corrections. I consider them to be technical in nature and would urge your adoption of this amendment.
Any further discussion on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 10? Question being called. All those in favor of the adoption of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 10, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 10 is passed. House Bill 10, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 11.
House Bill 11, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish regarding dogs chasing wildlife.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 11. If you recall, yesterday we had an amendment added on line 4 of page 2 that your dog was not guilty if it was attempting to protect livestock, and then the amendment added, or other property. And I was a little concerned about the use of or other property. And so I brought this amendment to further define it. So it was clearly an agricultural exemption. So I put in, instead of other property, I put in forage, which would include, you know, all of your fields that the, you know, the cows are eating from. Cash crop or a structure housing a cash crop, which could be a barn or just simply a you know, four-sided wall thing that you stick your hay in. Anyway, so it was just a better definition, I thought, to just get to the ag exemption, because I was, my concern was that you were going to have homeowners in a subdivision. Well, I gave the example yesterday of my ferocious cat, Madeline, but, the person trying to protect their petunias or willow trees or something like that. So just an option instead of having such a broad definition.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker. This is better. Consider it a helpful and friendly amendment. I was personally worried that or other property was too broad. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I respect committee members' comments, but on the other hand, one of the reasons that we brought this bill, or the Game Wardens Association brought this bill, is their option was killing the animal. And by adding the language that we did, and even with the amendment, it gives the game wardens the flexibility to determine what the dog is doing. And quite frankly, people need to realize some breeds of dog, it's just going to be natural for them to protect their property. However, the owners usually maintain control on them. If they don't, they'll pay the price, with the Game Wardens Association doing something about it. But while I understand what the good chairman of judiciary is doing, I still like the idea with the Game Wardens Association having the flexibility, as we did with the original bill of livestock and then adding other property. It's almost amazing with some breeds of dogs how they will, minor little thing, that they'll take off and do something, whether it be barking or chasing after the wildlife, but the landowners usually has that dog with him, and they will do something about it. So I guess I would have to stand in opposition of trying to limit the ability of the game wardens to be able to do their job.
Representative Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. I, too, feel that this amendment is way too restrictive. I also think that it probably sets a double standard, that if you're in the agriculture business out in the country, you can protect your cash crops. But on the other hand, if you've got a community garden or, let's say, a very expensive piece of landscape in town, that you won't be able to do that. So on and against the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, as I understand it, there is an issue. I live in probably the most urban district in the whole state of Wyoming, and we get an awful lot of problems with deer in this urban area eating a lot of what are heartfelt and hard-worked flowers and gardens, and I think that's an issue. And to make it strictly ag, I think we're missing a large segment of the people who have problems with this. And so the dogs may be involved in this, and I think we don't want to just make it an ag bill, from my view, because of this urban issue that is really pretty big. And there's a lot of constituents, I think, you'll find around the state that are more impacted by that issue than other things. So when you define it such that it's only cash crops and forage is defined by agriculture interests, we may be missing a segment that also needs some support. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we need to look at this in the context of the whole statute, 233109. We don't have A and B in the bill. In the statute, A says no person can use a dog to hunt, run, or harass big or trophy game, protected game, or fur-bearing animals. B says if a big game animal has been injured or is being threatened with immediate injury by dogs, a peace officer may kill the dog. C said a peace officer may arrest or issue a summons to the owner of a dog issuing or threatening wild game. C, that says he may arrest or issue a summons, was there was a court case, and the state lost that case, where a dog owner was charged, and the court said, just reading the statute, our great draftsmanship, the court said, well, it says he may arrest or issue a summons to the dog owner, but it doesn't say that the dog or the owner committed any crime. So issue a summons if you like, but don't come to court and ask for a conviction, because there isn't a crime defined in the statutes. So that is the malady that we're trying to fix. So in C, we said it's unlawful for any person to knowingly or negligently allow a dog which he owns or is under his control to injure or threaten a big game animal. So that's a crime. So if we vote against this amendment and pass the bill as presented, it will say in A, nobody shall use a dog to run or harass game. B, In cases where a big game animal has been injured or is being threatened with immediate injury, a peace officer may kill the dog. He doesn't have to. And C will give the peace officer the option, if he doesn't kill the dog, to charge the owner with the crime of unlawfully allowing his dog to run or harass big game. So I think this is the right solution. What it does is present the peace officer. If we don't pass this with that court case, we've got the peace officer backed into a corner where the only thing he can do to stop it that's going to stick is shoot the dog. If we pass this bill and fix C, then he's got a choice. He may shoot the dog, but if he doesn't shoot the dog, he's still got some action that he can take against the owner of the dog, which is to charge him with unlawfully allowing his dog to harass big game. So I would urge that you vote against the amendment and on the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? And for your second time, Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The addition by a proposed amendment of forage cash crop or a structure housing a cash crop makes it kind of a commercial enterprise. The Game Wardens Association tells me that this is not onerous to them to extend this particular enforcement to commercial enterprises. And I think that's where the game wardens want to go, and I think it on and for the amendment. I would also agree with the representative from Albany County. It wasn't very many years ago that game wardens had only the option of killing dogs. They still have that option under the law with this bill. They'll have the option also as an enforcement option to prosecute the owners of dogs acting negligently, take them to court. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Childers, for your second time.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I can appreciate the game wardens being willing to live with that. However, I need to remind the body, we set policy. And the policy, again, I think, from what I've seen, those type of animals that could be so-called harassing, or as we define in the statutes here, the what we changed, I'm trying to find it. But anyway, the point is, it's the nature of the animals to chase after the wildlife. But it's also the responsibility of the owners to do something about it. Now, I know we may have addressed the kill issue, but even with the citation, I think some of the representatives talks about what happens in towns and so forth. I still feel like that we need to give the flexibility to the Game and Fish Department, I mean the Game Wardens Association, those people, and I think they do a good job at it. And I just don't feel like we need to limit this language, as in this amendment, to only cash crops or forage and so forth. Property is flexible enough, and I think they would be reasonable about it. They aren't looking to make a bunch of citations. They're looking to protect the wildlife, and they can do that. And the landowner has the responsibility to do something, and the vast majority of them do something about it. On and against the amendment.
Chairman Gingrey, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a few issues real quick. First of all, I think we have a conflict in the law, and it just made me think of it today. We actually gave the power to the counties to regulate the running of dogs, and actually I know my county and I know other counties have resolutions involving dogs at large and citing for that in the counties, and actually our county resolution has a provision as for seizing the dog and possibly killing it too. So there seems to be a conflict in the law whether or not the game and fish controls or the county resolution, which the legislature specifically gave the power to the counties. So I'm just curious now whether or not we even need this statute since we already have it covered. But since we seem to be have it here, my big concern is that by using the word or other property, you're building in such a large defense. I don't see anybody ever prosecuting this crime because it nullifies the intent. The intent was to protect wildlife. It appears the conversation is how to protect the dog and encourage him to hurt wildlife. Everybody seems to be worried about getting rid of the deer, and I thought that we had a bill to give hand out contraceptives to the deer, but so hopefully that'll solve your deer problems in these urban areas. But my concern is more the larger big game animals such as elk, in particularly in my community, which that's my major concern. I'm just worried that if you have too broad of a defense, everyone will use that defense and come up with some type of property. It nullifies the intent of the law, and I would urge you to adopt this more narrow definition. Thank you.
Second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 11. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 11 has failed. The House Bill 11 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 22.
House Bill 22, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to the Veterans Property Tax Exemption.
House Bill 22, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 50.
House Bill 50, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding tax sales costs.
House Bill 50 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 56.
House Bill 56, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to mines and minerals sequestration recoverable hydrocarbons.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 56. And with no objection, I'll proceed with an explanation. This is a cleanup amendment. If you look at House Bill 56, page 2, line 1, we make a reference to the lessee of a severed mineral estate. In fact, the lessee requires this protection whether the mineral estate is severed or not. And the insertion of severed in line 1 was simply an error. And in order to effectuate the intent of the bill, we need to remove severed from that line. And I would stand for any questions.
Representative Lubnow.
Mr. Speaker, this is a friendly amendment.
Anyone else for their first time on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 56? Anyone for their second time? Question being called, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 56, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 56 has passed. House Bill 56 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 79.
House Bill 79, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to real estate mortgages redemption period.
House Bill 79, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 80.
House Bill 80, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the unitization of carbon sequestration sites.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to substitute bill number 1 for House Bill 80 and ask for your favorable consideration. It is my impression, I guess, that our unitization laws have evolved due to the complexities of our mineral estate, split estate issues, and of course the intention is so all parties can enter into contracts, willing buyers, willing sellers, and hopefully that with not being able to contact 20%, there will be a good faith effort to bring as many people into this process as possible. And thanks to the comments made yesterday, that clearly this bill is to address unitization and not allow any efforts to come forward that someone would exercise any powers of eminent domain. I thought it was important to me to recognize and take some time to recognize and respect the rights of surface owners and put some language into this bill to then make a statement that through this process we are not recognizing anyone's efforts to exercise any powers of eminent domain. Thank you.
Representative Lebno.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment certainly codifies legislative intent. This bill also doesn't grant driver's license privileges or pilot's licenses, but if this certainly codifies our intent, so it's a friendly amendment.
Any further discussion on second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 80? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 80, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 80 is passed. Representative Lebno.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 80. This amendment is some technical corrections. Line 1 to 22 requires the applicant to give notice rather than requiring the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission to give notice. Lines 23 to 29 just says that no unitization order grants any rights to the surface but merely to the pore space, and lines 30 to 35 requires notice by the department. Since we switched everything over to the Wyoming Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, we wanted in page 17 of that bill the Water Quality Division to coordinate with the director, but we also needed to have that person coordinate with the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, and so that's a technical correction.
Any other discussion on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 80? Question being called and hearing no further discussion. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 80, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 80 is passed. House Bill 80 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 102.
House Bill 102, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue, excise tax, vendor compensation.
Representative Korberg, would you come to the chair, please? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number 1 to House Bill 102 and would urge your favorable consideration. Although, ladies and gentlemen, I must tell you in the same breath, there's an amendment coming following mine that addresses the same subject. I really don't have that much preference. What precipitated this amendment on my part was the fiscal note attached to the bill. And the fiscal note says the general fund's going to take a hit of about $3.2 million a year, and local entities are going to take a hit of about $2.9 million a year. And I'm sensitive to that, especially after the hit that our local entities took when we repealed the sales tax on food and our inability, in their mind, not necessarily ours, but in their mind, our inability to ever backfill the loss in revenue that we thrust on them by repealing the sales tax on food. So I look at this, and I look at especially the $2.9 million part of the fiscal note, and I had an email with one of my constituents who does a lot of retail business and pointed that out to him, and I said, you know, I hope the end result of all this isn't that when it all shakes down at the end of the day, we have to raise the sales tax to backfill the loss of revenue to local entities because of this bill. And I got an email back from him that said a point well taken, $1,000 would do. So I've made an amendment for $1,000. There's another amendment coming for $5,000. Frankly, I don't care, but I think $10,000 is too much. There's a chart that's been distributed to you. It's available that shows the revenue and the hit for each option from $10,000 down to $1,000. So it's your choice. But I don't think that $10,000 is the correct number, and I don't think that some of our big box stores, who are going to be the only ones that benefit from this, need $10,000 for the collection of our sales tax. And when I balance that against the loss of revenue that both the state and the local entities are going to take, to me it doesn't balance out. So I'd submit this for your consideration. I'd ask you to vote in favor. Not all that offended if you don't vote in favor. And then I would ask you to think favorably about the next one that's coming for a $5,000 cap.
Representative Peterson, for your first time.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I appreciate the opportunity to stand in support of this amendment. When we listened to the discussion concerning the amount of revenue that was going to be lost by the local governments as well as the state through this activity, it raised a lot of concerns that took place. And one of the things I'd like to point out to the floor, local governments, as already pointed out, in their sales tax removal on food, took a substantial reduction, and we had to do a bunch of backfill from the state. If we proceed along with the bill as it currently is, without the amendment, the local governments would lose 1.5% of the total revenue for locals, where the state would only lose 0.5%. And the reason why I'm pointing that out, it's disproportionate, and all of us live in these local governments, and every one of them out there are pressed for revenue and funds. They want more discretionary income. They have just as many burdens on them at the present time. So I unquestionably rise in support of this amendment.
Representative Gilmore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I declared a conflict, and I'd like to make that clear. And now I'm on and for this amendment, and maybe a little history here. I actually run a small business, and I hope none of you guys are with the IRS, because we do sell about $200,000 worth of product a year. That would give me a $10,000 raise, and I don't deserve it. It takes our secretary maybe 10, 15 minutes to do the paperwork. She cuts a check to the revenue department, and it might affect the big, like say, the big box stores. It would affect them. They'd garner that $10,000 in one day. And I think the whole bill I think they preached to us already here about the being a little bit fiscally responsible, and I can't see giving away that kind of money to a form that's basically pretty simple to fill out. It takes you, as you sell something, you list your sales tax that you collected, you list your exempt customers, add it up, and in 5 minutes, mail a check. So I'm on and for the amendment, to reduce it to $1,000, but that's my say. And my good friend from Natrona County told me I needed a little time at this microphone, and I'd like to tell him I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle, and it took. So I probably don't need to spend much more time on this subject, but in the spirit of fairness to our constituents, even I, as a small business owner, don't need the raise. And thank you.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I think the important thing to keep in mind with this whole bill is that businesses are making an effort, and there is a cost associated with them collecting tax for the state. They can't do this for free. I have watched a bookkeeper keep track of those who are exempt from sales tax. That has to be done with a special piece of paper that indicates that, and go through and do the math as far as subtracting those sales out from the sales that the that has occurred. It is not just as simple as what it sounds. It does take some time. And I was kind of happy to see this bill because I thought the Revenue Committee had recognized the efforts that were going on in business and trying to defray some of that cost. How we ever thought that we should ask somebody, a third party, to do something without some compensation seemed unfair, and that this was starting to be a small step of thanks and recognition that there was a cost involved. I think that this particular amendment takes it way down below that actual cost, as people don't work for nothing. And so for those reasons, I would urge the body to oppose the amendment.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, whether you pass the bill, pass the amendment, I have my own thoughts about it now, but I think people need to realize with commercial businesses, in particular the big box stores, what do they really pay in taxes? Do they pay sales taxes? No. We pay sales taxes. They collect them, and they remit them to the state. What other taxes do they pay in this state? They pay property taxes at the same rate that you and I do. I'm not trying to pick on them, but that's the way it is in the Constitution. They pay property taxes at the same rate that we do. They also, you know, they pay other smaller fees and so forth that's required by the state, and they also pay a fee to form the business. But most everybody does that in business. But those big box stores and the larger businesses pay residential property taxes, and that's it. And also realize that those big box stores and those large businesses, they receive the services from the city that probably far exceeds what their property taxes are. And what we're doing with the bill, especially at the larger amount, we're compensating them for collecting those sales taxes that they do not pay, and they're probably receiving more than enough services to offset that fee. So is the fee really necessary for the bigger businesses?
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have some numbers for you and for the rest of the people to copy down on these threshold amounts on the amendment with a $1,000 threshold. That means you'd have to do 1.6 or 1 2/3 million dollars of taxable sales in order to reach that threshold. The good gentleman from Natrona County who has taxable sales of $200,000 a year would not get $10,000. He would actually get $120 a year, and that would equate to $10 a month for his trouble of filling out his sales tax forms. If we go back to the original bill, where there's a $10,000 threshold, that means you have to do 16 2/3 million dollars in taxable sales, and that demonstrates why there's only 114 vendors that would qualify for that maximum amount. And all of these arithmetic calculations that I provide here are based on a 6% sales tax rather than a 5% or 4%, but it's assuming a 6% sales tax on average. So, you know, keep these numbers in mind of what these thresholds are and whether you think in your own judgment that someone that collects $1 and $2/3 million worth of business is worth $1,000 to us or not. So thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think this is we're starting to travel down a road here that maybe we don't want to travel. We have workers' compensation that has to be computed. We have unemployment insurance that has to be computed. And now we're talking about the sales tax issue that has to be computed. And where do we stop? When we went into our businesses, that was a cost of doing business. And we figure that cost in what we charge for our products. And we talk about we pay our taxes. Consumers pay every tax that we put out. So let's be careful what we do here, folks. And on in support of the amendment, probably against the bill.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and for the amendment and against the bill also. As a small business owner, at one time, I would have loved this at the time I was in business, but now when you look at it and look at what it's going to do to our revenue, and especially revenue in the county and local revenue, it's just not worth it. And so for that reason, I will speak against the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know lots of people are thinking this, but I'm just going to say it. If our good attorneys are so concerned about backfilling the local governments, we have the solution. You guys can pay sales tax. Again, I just want to reiterate what I said last year. This is a cost of doing business, but this also generates more business. I don't know if I'm for the 10,000 or maybe the next amendment that's coming, but I think this is something that we need to look at. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time, Representative Gilmore.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to get up here and correct my math error that was pointed out to me before the rest of the House did it. And even with that error, it's still the $3.2 million that the Treasury loses over what I still consider not worth a lot of money. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time? Second time. Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 102, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 102 is passed. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 102, and it's the same argument, only bring it up to $5,000 limit. If you'll look at the chart that's been passed out, there are, for a total, there's 29,000 people and businesses that own a sales tax license in the state of Wyoming. 29,000. There's only 114 that would exceed the $10,000 limit, and only 249 that would exceed the $5,000 limit, where their limit would be $5,000. So the bulk of the taxes are collected by the big box stores and so, but the bulk of the returns are from small business, numerous of those. Some of the argument with unemployment taxes and workers' comp and all that. So far, at least in my business, I haven't been charged a fee to get a license to collect that tax. Where the sales tax, I got to have pay the state to collect that tax for them. And it seems to me that this body is not appreciative of the retailers in this state who have faithfully collected and sent that tax in throughout the years for the privilege of doing business in Wyoming. I think probably those retailers are contributing to the economy of the state, and we're not going to show any appreciation because it just isn't that much trouble. I would urge you to at least put a $5,000 cap on that. That will catch the bulk of the small businesses that will get paid a little bit for their cost of collection. I would remind you that the Price Waterhouse Institute that made a complete study of the United States of what the cost of collecting that tax and paying it is, that is, it runs from 3.5% to 13.5% of the tax collected. We're not even going to come close to what the cost of collection is on this thing. So I would urge you to support this amendment to House Bill 102. This cuts it in half of what we started out with. Thank you.
Representative Esquibel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment, honor for this amendment, it's a good compromise. It keeps Wyoming a small business-friendly state. We have to look at what those businesses are looking at when they're thinking about coming to the state of Wyoming. And also, on the flip side, something that wasn't mentioned earlier, if you fail to pay your taxes on time, you don't get the credit. So it's good on both sides, and I urge the body to support this amendment and vote for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Medical practice, we don't have to pay sales tax either, just like our colleagues in the legal profession. I was just considering how much trouble it would be if we did, and then figuring how much income we'd get back from this kind of a return from the state. I'd say that I think we figured I'd get about $600, our office. So we would be getting pretty close to the $1,000 limitation, and we're a pretty small business. So I think all of you ought to think real carefully when you say you want to limit it down to $1,000. You're talking about very small businesses around our state. So I'd speak in favor of the amendment and the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Question being called, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 102, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 102 has failed. Oh, I wasn't quick enough. Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Second reading, amendment number 2 to House Bill 102 has failed. House Bill 102, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 57.
House Bill 57, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to property, ownership of pore space, dominance of mineral estate, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 57, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen, excused. Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen. Peterson.
Aye.
Philp, excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 57, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 57 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 58.
House Bill 58, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to carbon sequestration, responsibilities of injectors and pore space owners, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 58, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen excused, Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Patterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
House Bill 58, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 58 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 62.
House Bill 62, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to charter school law amendments, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
House Bill 62, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson. Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen excused, Landon,
aye.
Lockhart, Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Patterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 2 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 62, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 62 has passed the House. We're at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
Representative Esquivel.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Chairman Elway, you may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow representatives, tomorrow night there is a dinner honoring the Vice President. It's the Boy Scout dinner. The Vice President's being honored. I have one ticket. If anybody would like it, please see me.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 94. Reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 94, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to attorneys at law, attorney requirements for admission to the bar. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom respectfully reported back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Kennedy, Gingrey, Peasley, Throne. No, Mercer, Patton, Korberg. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 94 pass. And I would turn this over to the good gentleman from Casper to explain the bill.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Chairman, I come before the body today with this bill as that I consider really a mischief prevention measure. This measure was brought to me actually by the Board of Law Examiners, which is the entity that oversees the process for admitting people to practice law in the state of Wyoming. The statutes that we currently have sort of a relic of a bygone age included in them, which is a provision that allows you to read the law in order to become licensed as an attorney. And this is a provision that really hasn't been used in the state. I believe from testimony, the last person that was admitted to the bar without actually completing law school did it in 1974 or so. And so we've gone over 30 years without this method being used. The problem is that it does pose some problems for the Board of Law Examiners having this in statute, because over the years the regulatory and administrative sort of tools to administer a reading the law program have gone away, and they don't particularly have a method in place or a structure in place to administer those folks that read the law and then want to take the bar exam. So this bill does is it simply says that you need to graduate from law school and then take the bar exam, and then you can be admitted to practice law in the state of Wyoming. There are a few other states, eight other states around the country that still have reading the law provisions. Typically they are not used, or they are large states that have an administrative capability that our state does not have. And so I come before you asking to eliminate those provisions. The other little, I considered it a cleanup provision of the bill, but it spawned some discussion in committee, is on line 14, page 1, you'll see that the requirement that someone be a citizen of the United States in order to be admitted to the bar was stricken. The reason that was done was it was ruled unconstitutional in 1979. The United States Supreme Court ruled those sorts of provisions unconstitutional, and then the Wyoming Supreme Court followed. I believe that it is good practice to have in our statutes what is actually the existing enforceable law, and with that provision in it, that is not an enforceable provision. And so I believe we should correct the statute to reflect the current state of the law. And so with that, I would stand for any questions.
Representative Patton.
Mr. Chairman and the fine representative from Natrona County, I rise to point that there are two issues that are here. The first issue, of course, is the one that he well explained on the admission of the bar. And then the second, he accepted the proposition of trying to clean up the proposed bill on line 14 of page 1, where the committee is suggesting that we should strike the citizen of the United States. And he correctly points out that the Supreme Court of Wyoming held and supported that provision. However, I would like to suggest that there is a time, if not a responsibility, that the legislature voice to the court its opinions on such things as people that are representing us as officers of the court. And that is what the bar license permits. To belabor this is to suggest that at the time that the Supreme Court held this, there was a concurring opinion, and it was made by the Chief Justice, and it reads as follows. While it represents only my personal view, it is my thought that the legislature should not strike by repeal the first clause that we're questioning, requiring the United States citizenship as a prerequisite for admission to the Wyoming State Bar. Even though for the moment it is rendered invalid, it has symbolic as well as a real significance as an expression of our loyalty and recognition as the state and the importance to the United States citizenship and the ideals of a free people, which attorneys and counselors are especially sworn to uphold. Hopefully someday its requirement will have its full and intended viability restored. And as a result of that, I feel that we should not strike that provision and suggest and call for a division of the question that we may vote separately on this and then on the body of the bill.
Representative Lebnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of my law school classmates for the first 2 years of law school didn't finish law school and then read the law and became an attorney and had a very successful career until she decided to go home and be a full-time mother. My concern is, are there any events with attorneys reading the law other than mere technical compliance that are driving this, or is this just more of a technical compliance kind of bill?
Representative Stubson.
Let me respond to the issue that the representative from Sheridan County raised first. It is interesting that that concurring opinion that was read refers to this as a sort of this is the decision for the moment, but it has been the decision for the moment for the last 30 years. And I think particularly in these statutes where you have, you know, potential people that want to practice law in the state of Wyoming looking to our statutes for guidance of what our requirements are in order to practice law, we should accurately reflect the law. They shouldn't be forced to guess on what provisions for admission to the law actually are. And I can give you a good example. When I was in law school, we had, and one of my classmates was actually from the Netherlands. He was a guy that had married a nice girl from Carbon County and came to the University of Wyoming to go to law school. He was not a United States citizen, but he took the courses and now he's licensed to practice, I believe, both in the state of Wyoming and in the state of Utah. This isn't an enforceable measure. It shouldn't be in our statute. We should correctly reflect the state of what the enforceable law is. With respect to the comments from the gentleman from Campbell County, the main concern with the Board of Law Examiners, there was some testimony that over the last few years there's been increasing some calls, you know, along the lines of, hey, I hear in Wyoming you don't have to pass, you don't have to go through law school in order to be a lawyer. And there's some concern that there just isn't, the Board of Law Examiners is made up of 5 practicing attorneys. They volunteer their time to issue and administer the bar exam twice a year. They give up about a month's worth of time in doing that. They simply do not have the resources and the capabilities to effectively police a reading the law program. And it certainly is not an indication that it can't be done. But as far as controlling a sort of uniformity in training, they believe that it is more appropriate to require a law school graduation. That, you know, remember that the time that these provisions were initially brought forth was a time when you couldn't just go to Laramie and go to law school, or go anywhere in the country and go to law school. You might have to ride across the country to find one. And law schools
excluded entire classes of people. Well, that's not the case anymore. And so we believe that this is sort of a modernization of our requirements and is good policy.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I would point out for the benefit of the body that frequently non-lawyers on the floor are complaining not only about the number of attorneys that we have in this body, but complaining generally that we have too many people who are lawyers. So perhaps we should make it harder to become a member of the profession and not create more options for people to become attorneys. So I speak in favor of the bill. On to the question of citizenship. We live in a global economy. We have international companies. For instance, the owner of the Jonah Field is a Canadian company. Now, it happens to be that all their attorneys that I'm personally familiar with happen to be American citizens, but it's entirely possible there may be a time when one of their attorneys from Canada needs to move to Wyoming and practice law. Do we really want to say that that person should not be allowed to practice law? We don't do that for doctors. We don't do that for engineers. Anybody who is admitted to the practice of the law has to take the same oath, whether you're a citizen or not, which is very similar to the oath we take to swear to uphold the constitutions of the state and the nation. So in terms of making sure that whoever practices law here understands our rules, that's covered in the oath of admission to the bar. And I will just also point out for the body that the person that Representative Lubnow referred to, who in 1985 read for the law, catered our dinner the other night and with the Supreme Court. And she's my neighbor. I'll check with her on how she really feels about this.
Representative Patton.
I just wanted to make clear that I did request a division of the question, and I believe and submit that the question is divisible and that we could vote on the first part, as I requested, on just the citizenship on page one, and then the remainder, the second division, would be on the body of the bill that has its own argument. I do understand that it's one against several in the learned department, but as a citizen, we have responsibilities, and those responsibilities are not terminated because we're legislators. We can make a statement, and the statement, even though invalid in the court, does make a statement to the public at large as well as to the judiciary that we believe that citizenship should be a valid requirement for the practicing in our court, as they are officers of that court. Appreciate your support.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Patton. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I think what we have here is a philosophical argument, and I have immense respect for the proponent of this argument and would not want anything I say to be construed in any manner in a demeaning form. But here's where we sit today. The United States Supreme Court has said that the citizenry obligation is unconstitutional. Our Supreme Court has followed suit and said that citizenry obligation is unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. We have a statute that continues to set on the books in defiance of that ruling, that determination by the court that it's unconstitutional, and the advocacy here is that we continue to have that statute on the books that's in defiance of the determination by the highest court in our state and the highest court in our land that it's unconstitutional. So it seems to me that if we do this and we leave the statute on the books, Not only is it in defiance of those courts, which bothers me, but it is a real affront to individuals who are not U.S. citizens who might want to come to practice law in the state of Wyoming. And I'm not sure that that's an affront or a message that we want to send to those individuals. They know they have the right to practice law here by virtue of the ruling from the United States Supreme Court and the Wyoming Supreme Court, yet the legislature sits here and obstinately continues to leave on the books a statute that says you're not welcome here, you can't practice law here, we don't care what the court said, you're not a proper person to practice law in our state. And as was pointed out, we have an increasing number of attorneys from jurisdictions outside our country that practice in one form or another in our state. We advocate international trade. We advocate foreign markets for our products. And to say that those attorneys who are otherwise totally qualified, there's no question about you can assume for purposes of this argument, they are qualified. So they are qualified, and we say to them, because of the one thing, we want to do business in your country, we want to import, we want to export, we're part of the global economy, but you can't come and practice here, not because you're not competent, but only because you don't have U.S. citizenry. It's just an affront, and it's a message that I don't think that we want to send.
Representative Patton.
Mr. Chairman, and fine representative, I would just like to point out that this decision was made in the article that I read to you by the Chief Justice Rader was done in 1979. Jonah Field hadn't been discovered yet. Powder River Basin development hadn't begun yet. The foreign companies have done very, very well in exploring and developing the natural resources since 1979 to today. I don't see that we have unfairly treated anybody from around the world to have an opportunity to practice their economy and their industry and their values within our country. I think the value of our citizenship is not a liability, but is an asset that needs protection, needs to be understood, and needs to be advocated, for which I stand.
Okay, Mr. Representative Patton, you still want the division?
Mr. Chairman, I did request that the question be divided. The question, Division A, would be on the page one, where the bill acts to strike that language. I want that suggest that be voted upon separately, and that the body of the bill be on Division Two, and be voted on separately.
Okay, members of the House, we have a division on the bill, and the first division is going to be on line 14,
Mr. Chairman,
Citizens
point of, order.
Of the United States.
Mr. Chairman, point of order.
Mr. Speaker.
I would ask for a Rules Committee meeting, please, on the proposed division.
Hi. Thank you.
come back to order. The ruling by the Rules Committee has ruled the motion on the floor is out of order. Representative Stubson.
And with that, I would just request a positive vote on my simple little bill.
Question being called for. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 94 do pass, say aye. Opposed, no. House Bill 94 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Committee announcements. Chairman Illoway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet promptly in Room 302. To discuss HJ3 Legislators' Terms of Office, HB 182, Low-Profit Limited Liability Companies, and HB 117, Campaign Finance.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Wednesday morning at 8 a.m., H18, and we will consider House Bill 109, Wyoming Community Facilities Program, House Bill 110, Wyoming Business Ready Community Program, and House Bill 112, Wyoming Housing Program.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, Speaker's committee anyway, number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30 in H-11 to consider Statement of Consideration, House Bill 66, House Bill 221, Property Tax Appeals, House Bill 138, Property Tax Refund Program, House Bill 68, Homestead Exemption, and if we have time, House Bill 131, Vehicle Sales and Use Tax. Also, Mr. Chairman, tomorrow morning, Capital Ministries will meet with us again in the Hersler Commons area. The letter on your desk indicates 6:30. That time will be 6:15. 6:15 tomorrow morning for that devotional time. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will be meeting at 12:30 to give you some time to go hunt and forage, and we will take up House Bill 106, firearm ownership, and finish that one up that we started this morning, and finish up House Bill 98, mandatory minimum sentence for sex abuse of a minor. And tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in H8, Judiciary will take up House Bill 72, County Jails Release of Information, House Bill 147, Child Abuse Statewide Reporting Center, and House Bill 149, Notaries.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee Number 8 on Highways, Transportation, and Military Affairs will meet about 10 minutes upon adjournment this evening tonight, Tuesday, January 20th, to discuss the following bills. House Bill 2, Street Rods and Custom Vehicles, House Bill 25, Special License Plate Retention by Spouse, and House Bill 51, Handicapped Motorcycle License Plates.
Representative Lebnow.
Mr. Chairman, your committee, or the Speaker's Committee Number 4, Education, will meet Wednesday, January 21st, 2009, upon adjournment in Room 302 to continue the discussions on House Bill 114, Community College Amendments.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee Number 2 will meet upon adjournment today or no later than 3:30 for callbacks, Judiciary, and the Department of Transportation. Then on tomorrow, the Appropriations Committee Number 2 will hear bills, House Bill 46, National Guard Medical Professional Retention Program, continued conversation on House Bill 52, Higher Education Endowment Fund, and then House Bill 135, Higher Education Matching Funds, and House Bill 86, Elected Official Salaries. Thank you.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room 302 to consider House Bill 134, Natural Resource Large Project Funding, and House Bill 6, Game and Fish Trapping.
The House will stand at ease till 2 p.m.